Hey everyone, welcome back to Citywide Blackout, the podcast that brings you the best artists from around the world. I'm your host, Max Bowen. Well, in this episode, folks, my buddy Ben Chow and I head back to one of our favorite local cons, Super Mega Fest. This is one we've been at for a number of years, and it's always a great time. And we got three great interviews for you. First up is authors Killarney and Margaret Trainer to talk about their Encounter series, a collection of stories that often begins with the phrase, "What if?" After that, Stephen Lohmer talks to me about his short film adaptation for his book series, Typo Squad. We talk about the transition from book to film, and this film has an absolutely awesome cast. We dive into that and the different qualities that they bring to the show. And bringing things to a close, it's cosplay artist Chelsea Von Chastity. She's been to a number of local cons and shares some of the stories from those great occasions. Big thanks goes to the folks at Super Mega Fest for putting us on the press list. We always, always enjoy ourselves, and we're definitely looking forward to next time. What's up, guys? Max Bowen, CLI Blackout. I'm here live from Super Mega Fest. It is day one, and now I am joined by writers Margaret and KJ Trainer. And I want to ask you about your book series, the Encounter series. We've got two volumes out right now. And I was actually reading about this, and I kind of dug the haunted house in the alien abduction. Where do the ideas come from?
Usually it comes from her saying, wouldn't it be scary if? And then I'm like,
that's
usually how it starts.
Yeah.
So we just watched a haunted house movie, and we were talking about it afterwards, and Peggy thought, wouldn't it be scary if you were snowed in and you couldn't get out? And that's where this book came from. So it's about four people that are snowed into a haunted house and then the ghosts start using them to kind of recreate the murder mystery that happened 25 years ago. So.
Well, okay then.
Yeah. Pretty dark.
Okay.
I sent her the first draft and she said, I was expecting it to be a little lighter. And it went dark like that.
How would you go light with a haunted house?
I don't know, but.
It's not easy.
Apparently. So, and then you want to tell them how you came up with that one?
Oh, yes. We were just hiking out, because we live in New Hampshire, so we were going on a hike, and our phones weren't working because we're on the top of a mountain, phones really don't work. And I was talking to her about it, and I was like, wouldn't this be the most inopportune moment for, like, an alien invasion? I said, because you can't call for help. We're, like, 3 hours by foot to our car. And I was like, this is probably the worst time to run into something that you really can't run away from. So that's kind of how this
one
was.
So this one was born.
Yeah. What other, like, what-if ideas have you had that you have, like, not actually, like, written down yet?
Well, the next one is, what if... What if a sea monster ended up in a small lake somehow and started terrorizing people? How long would it take them to realize that it's actually a monster, not just their imagination? So that was one idea.
That was, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah, that one's going to be fun. And then we was like, what if it was actually during the Roaring Twenties? So we have all this gangster stuff going on, too. So,
nice.
Yeah, that one's going to be fun.
Be nice.
Yeah.
And these books also take place in different times, right?
Right.
One is like...
This one's 70s, yeah. So it deals a lot with Vietnam and that sort of thing. And this one's in the 80s.
Okay.
So
why are the choice of times?
I like historical fiction, so I always loved reading it. But when we wrote this one, we weren't intending on it being a series. And when I was writing it, I thought it works better back in time because A, you don't have cell phones, so they can't call help.
Yeah, exactly.
And B, I wanted to play with the whole Vietnam War and PTSD thing without being too present, you know, too close to home. So I thought that was really good
distance from that.
Yeah. Yeah. And this one, it was the same thing. We didn't want any cell phones to record what happened. So.
Right, because that was a concern. Like, you could still take a picture of it, and we didn't want them to do that either because we wanted it to be like all... Yeah, you know, completely on your own.
I get you.
Yeah,
so
isolate them.
So like a horror movie set in the modern times, would that just like not work? Do you think?
What times?
Like the modern times, would that kind of work? Do you think?
You could still do that. Definitely. Yeah. We have a few ideas for that. We just haven't quite. They haven't quite gelled yet. Because I got excited about the 1920s, so we're doing that one first. Oh, and we had the one about the. The Great Blackout in Massachusetts, which
yes,
is in
was
the
it in 77? No, sorry.
Yeah, so we're going to do one in the 50s as well. So.
And the Great Blackout, you said?
Yes, there's a Great Blackout that knocked out the
60s,
whole East
right?
Coast. It could be the 60s. So we're going to set one in an elevator that's shut down.
Because my parents were always told when we were kids, like, they remember when all their power went out and that there were people stuck in elevators in Boston. And I was like, what if you were stuck in there with something that, like... Anyway, the what if went pretty quickly.
I like that, though, like, actually.
Stuck in an elevator.
Like, so it's this whole, like, East Coast blackout, stuck in an elevator. What might happen
with
there?
With what?
Oh. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so. How do you know when you have an idea that just, like, works for you? That you say, yeah, we're doing this. We're doing a whole, like, book about this.
Well, that's a good question. Usually I know if I can see the whole arc. And I'm like, oh, okay, so I can actually take this all the way. As opposed to sometimes you have a really good idea and it just doesn't go anywhere. It just stops. But the way I know I have to write it is when I can start hearing the characters in my head, which I know sounds like I'm crazy, but I'm not. Maybe I
am. You hear that? She's not crazy. Remember that.
But when I can start hearing conversations, like, you know, I could see how they're going to work out, then I'm like, okay, now I can write this when they're talking. So,
Now, do you you plan the books out, or you just, like, go by the seat of your pants?
I plan, but sometimes things happen when you're writing, and it changes.
You know, which is good, because you don't want to, like, stick with, like, a solid script. You have, like, a better idea, but you say, nope, we're sticking to the plan, we're not going to change it.
Right. Exactly.
Example of you deviating from the plan in one of these books.
These books stayed pretty much to plan. I had one other fantasy book where I had a walk-on, walk-off character turn into... He ended up taking over half the book. So, because I just loved him so much. So he, he ended up being a major figure. I actually had to give him a heart attack so he wouldn't be at the end of the book. Because I'm like, you can't. It has to be the main character. He's alone.
Sometimes they won't shut up.
Sometimes they won't.
What would you say scares you? Because you have a lot of, like, horror themes here, the haunted house, alien abduction, the monster. Particularly, what, like, scares you?
Bears.
Bears.
Bears scare me. Yeah.
Now, you had, like, no hesitation there.
Yeah. I used to have nightmares about really only bears when I was a kid. So, bears. Yeah.
Drowning.
Drowning?
Drowning. Yeah.
So, the sea monster thing is going to be a rough fight.
That would really freak me out, the drowning part.
And we haven't had a bear in this yet.
Which, maybe she'll like more of the other, you know?
Yeah. I watched The Revenant. And I walked out with, like, jelly legs, like, I can't even.
Oh, yeah. No, that scene totally just weirded me. I'm like, okay, just stop. It keeps going. It keeps going.
Good scene.
Now, you two, you read these books together. How does the whole process work?
So we'll brainstorm the whole plot, basically, together. And then I'll write a draft and give it to her, and she'll basically trim it or give me some feedback on how it is. So I'll take it, rewrite it, and then give it back to her. And when we're both happy with it, that's when we send it to another editor. So.
Where did the idea come from to, like, work together on a project?
With that first, you know, wouldn't it be scary if we were snowed in? And
oh, really?
We're like, yeah. But we've worked on other projects before. This is just the first one that actually, like, ended up in a book.
Oh. Okay.
So, because we are always pitching ideas to each other.
The what if conversations get really long.
Oh, okay. What are some of the other things you've done? Is that like a long answer?
Well, we've done, like, lots of other books where, like, they were usually joke books, like, you know, like a riff on James Bond. Or one time we did Pride and Prejudice and we updated it to see if it worked. We rewrote the entire book in a modern setting to see if it would work.
Yep.
It does. It does. naturally, you can't really, you know, you can't publish that. You're ripping off someone else's story.
A little too close, yeah.
Yeah, so, but this is the first one that we, like, really liked enough that we thought, oh, this is actually enough of us that we can do it.
Yeah.
So.
Now, this is your first time at an event like this, right?
Yes.
Okay. How's it been so far?
I love it. I love seeing the costumes go by. And we see celebrities go by every once in a while.
Yes. And pass by our table all the time.
the best costume so far, would you say?
There was a guy walking around as John Wick. And I really thought it was him for, like, oh, like,
and
you
had a,
really?
He had a baby dressed, like, he had a baby dressed in, like, a little puppy costume. It was genius.
It down. Like,
it was genius.
I know it's a simple outfit, but he had it right.
And so. There's a Mr. Rogers going around here, too, that's really good.
I've seen that,
pretty,
too.
Yeah, so pretty good. But on the whole, like, most of them are really, really good. Like, you walk by, like, a lot of care went into these costumes.
Do you think you'll be hitting more cons down the road?
This is fun.
Yeah.
And people are much more interactive at, like, Comic Cons than even regular fairs, I find. They actually want to sit around and talk to you, which is great. So I like that.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, KG and Margaret, thank you both very much. Now, where do folks go to learn more about you and to get the books?
Our books can be found on Amazon.com, and you can also visit my website, KillarneyTrainer.com. So, yeah.
Same place.
Same thing.
Same thing.
Well, thank you both very much.
What's up, everyone? Citywide Blackout. We are here at Super Mega Fest, day one, and we have just gotten through the film premiere of the Typo Squad short film, first of many, hopefully. And joining me now is the writer of the book series, Stephen Lohmer. What's up, dude?
What's up, dude? And now I wanna just jump in here and say we didn't get through the premiere. We enjoyed the premiere. We loved the premiere.
It was amazing.
It was extraordinary. It's not something you get through.
I was so blown away that my mind was fried for better words.
I understand. Yeah, that's colonoscopy is something you get through.
Exactly.
Typo Squad is something you really enjoy.
We didn't just watch it. We experienced it.
You did experience it.
It was but in all seriousness, it was an absolutely awesome film.
Thank you.
Very happy to watch that.
Thank you.
I have like a billion questions for you, but the first thing I want to start with was adapting this from a book to a film. Why do it? What happened that made you want to go down this path?
Sure. Well, it's an interesting sort of winding path, and I'll give you the nutshell version of it.
Okay.
I have a show on YouTube called Tell Me About Your Damn Book, and I interview other authors. And one of the authors that I had met at a show, her name is Killarney Trainer. I believe you know Killarney Trainer.
A little bit, yeah. Maybe once or twice.
Sure,
you know?
Sure, in passing. And so she was a guest on my show, and then she asked me to appear on the Early Late Night Live show, which is her brother Terry's local program. So I appeared on that. And after that, we were sitting around talking about Typo Squad, because I had talked about it on the show. And the two of them said, well, why don't we take a scene, and why don't we create a proof of concept out of it and see where it takes us? Mm-hmm. And I said, that sounds great. I don't have any money. How do we get around that? And so we did crowdfunding. We did was it GoFundMe or what's the other Kickstarter?
Yeah, Kickstarter.
We did Kickstarter,
yep.
And we made a third of what we were looking for. So we were able to move things around, and so the ultimate budget. The ultimate budget of it was around 10 grand, you know, all told.
Mm-hmm.
But it was such an extraordinary experience. And I do have to tell you this. So I created the scene. Mm-hmm. I picked the scene from the book that I wanted, and then I adapted it into a script. And it went through so many. I know this is not surprising. So many iterations. Version 1, version 2, version 3. The poor cast. They're like, every day it's a new version.
Which one am I on now?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, your character's out, by the way.
Yeah, right. Exactly. We wrote you out. So then, at the very last minute, me being who I am, I decided to completely rewrite the first half of the film. So you haven't seen it yet. You will. But the first half of the film, it's an ensemble piece. All of Typo Squad is together. There's some banter and whatnot. In the original scene, which was adapted from the original book, mm-hmm. it was just a back and forth conversation between Dick and Tonka, and that was it. And then Dick gets knocked out, and Typo Squad then joins him. So I was reading it, and I was like, first of all, the guy who played Tonka didn't want to read all that dialogue, because there was a lot of dialogue, and there was a lot for me, too. So I said, I really want to get Typo Squad in there soon, and I want to establish the premise, and I want to establish that they're busting balls, as they do. And so I rewrote it about 10 days before we started shooting. And so that required the addition of 12 extras, 2 stunt guys, and a lot of time and effort, but I think it was worth it.
Definitely.
I absolutely think it was worth it. So it was great.
It was a really cool scene. So basically, like, premise of this scene is you have a new enemy, basically, yeah. Facing the squad. She walks in, makes a deliberate typo on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Which so in the world of Typo Squad, typos are like dangerous weapons.
Yes, typos are lethal to 98% of the population. And whoever is not affected by typos joins Typo Squad to protect the public from the forces of errorism. but but the people who are in Typo Squad have tics, so they are affected by typos. It just doesn't kill them. So, for example, in the book, Dick's tic is that typos make him intoxicated. Thea's tic is that typos give her intense orgasms. Anna's tic is that she vomits copiously when she sees a typo. So,
how are you going to do that scene?
Bro, I don't know. We may have to make some changes to get that going. But that was part of the fun of the book. Not only coming up with the punny names, but coming up with how typos would affect them and the different tics and everything. So yes, that was a lot of fun, and you know, Krista Terry, who played Theosaurus, who has the intense orgasm, she's like, you're not going to make me do that on film, right? I said, no,
not in this one,
no. So we're just going to have Dick affected. It's just going to act as an intoxicant, and hopefully people will get the gag and the gimmick.
Yeah, so, definitely.
Yeah,
seeing your book brought to life with actors and scenes and whatnot. How's that feel?
It's mind-blowing.
Yeah.
It's absolutely mind-blowing. And seeing physical representations of people who only existed in my mind and on the page is surreal. It's hard to wrap your head around. And they brought so much to those characters that, first of all, wasn't there to begin with. And really fleshed them out for me that now, when, because I've written a sequel since then, I've written Typo Squad 2, Return of the Word Monger, available on Amazon, and I'm working on Typo Squad 3.
You're just like the master of the plug. This is a good thing. You are the master of the plug.
If I don't plug, who will?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So now when I write the sequels and I write these characters, I picture these people and I write them to these people's personalities, and it's really something. I would not have exchanged this experience for anything, because it was really so much fun. I don't know if every movie shoot is fun. I bet it isn't. But this one really was.
Ben and I can talk about that for a long time.
I'm sure you could.
The short version is mostly yes, sometimes not so much.
Sometimes not so much. Okay, I'll keep that in mind for the future.
Definitely.
But if I keep working with these same people, I think we'll be good to go.
So let's talk about them. The cast here is absolutely amazing. I mean, very, very like on point. How'd you find them all?
Okay, that's a very good question. So Krista... I worked with her many years ago in my day job, and I remain friends with her over the years. And she has a background in stage productions, and she also teaches tap and jazz. Hmm. So she had the personality. That's what I was looking for, was the personality, not necessarily the acting chops. Shane Mountain has been a friend of mine for many, many years, and I knew he had the personality to do Tonka. I know he could do him deadpan the way I wanted him to do it. And then I believe all of the others I found on a casting website. And they all have varying degrees of experience. Mm-hmm. Paul Kandarian, who played You in Whose Army, is probably the most experienced. He's done a ton of independent film. So I was, when I first pitched to him, I said, okay, we don't have a budget, but I will pay for you to come down if you will be in this. And he really loved the story, so he agreed to do it. Mike Weiner has done a ton of commercials. He actually did one that unfortunately got pulled from the Super Bowl, but it was supposed to air during the Super Bowl.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he was telling everyone, watch me during the Super Bowl, and then it got yanked.
That's so heartbreak, dude.
Yeah, that stunk. Joy Batra appears in a ton of Bollywood films, and she does music videos for Bollywood music celebrities. And then Jennifer and Huang, who played the EMTs, I found them as well, and they were just an absolute delight. And that was actually that was an important thing to me, to have some diversity in the cast, because I don't necessarily have a lot of diversity in my life, much as I would like to have it. Mm-hmm. So the fact that you know, Jennifer is from Puerto Rico and Huang is Chinese, and you know, we just had some diversity, and Joy is Indian, so it was nice. It was really a nice mix. Tonka was supposed to be a heavyset Asian man, and I put out the call for, you know, heavy set Asian men. there just weren't any. I just never heard back from anybody. So, I mean, Tanka, like that, Tanka, it's sort of so, you know, I cast Shane and I don't regret that for a moment, but he said, you know, now that you got this big Irish dude playing Tonga, is he going to be, you know, more like Lieutenant Patio Furniture or something like that? I said, no, the character is Tonga. He will remain Tonga. So
very cool.
Yeah.
Given who you cast in this movie, does it change, like, future plans, like, for the book? Do you kind of, like, rewrite it with, like, the visions of this cast being, like, in the roles?
Yes, actually. So when I wrote Typo Squad 2, I was thinking about how much fun it would be to sort of separate Typo Squad, where the boys go off to England to sort of solve a mystery, and the girls remain behind, and so the focus is entirely on Dick, on Big, and on Ewan. Mm-hmm. And then they meet up with Her Majesty's Royal Typo Brigade, which is in London. And that gave me a chance to come up with a bunch of awesome new punny names.
which are absolutely amazing.
Thank you.
I love the name puns.
Thank you very much. Spot on, sir. Yes, thank you. So I was writing that with the thought of, if we ever do film this, then I'm giving myself a chance to have, like, a boys' weekend with just my guys. You know what I mean?
Nice.
I think the books are going to be written probably a lot more like features, so that adapting them will be that much easier in the future.
All right.
Yeah.
Speaking of the characters, when I was reading the list of the extras, I saw my friend Kate Eppers on that list.
Oh, Kate Eppers. Yes. Adore
What's up,
Kate Eppers. Hey, Kate. She's awesome.
She's absolutely
She has
amazing.
Such an amazing voice. She's such a great singer. She's in all kinds of films. She's actually in The Dinner Party, Kalani's upcoming film.
She's busy.
Yeah. If I had known Kate Eppers before, I probably would have cast her in Typo Squad. She was kind enough to come down and be an extra and be one of those. And actually, the way Terry edited that scene, the high-pitched scream that you hear throughout everyone stampeding out of the cafe is her.
Oh.
Is Kate Eppers, yes.
Excellent.
And I made sure to let Kate know that she was the scream.
Nice. So what is the plan for the future of this film?
Well, it's currently being rejected by every film festival you can possibly imagine.
Mistake, folks. Mistake.
I don't necessarily think people are getting it.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people who are probably watching were fans of Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Mm.
And Joel Hodgson said, "We never said who's going to get this. We said the right people are going to get this."
Exactly.
So I think that that's who is going to get this film. And I think it's going to be, it was taken into a couple of film festivals. And I think there will be film festivals in the future.
All right.
So.
Well, Steve, thanks for talking to me. I appreciate this.
Yes, absolutely.
But where do folks go to learn more about you, get your books, and to see the movie?
Okay, well, my books are all available on Amazon.com under Stephen Lohmer. For all the Typo Squad related stuff, it's typo-squad.com. Again, let me reiterate, whoever is sitting on typosquad.com, you're pissing me off, so stop it.
let it go, guys. Give it to him.
Yeah, but I'm all over the interweb, so any place you need to find me, just start by searching Stephen Lohmer, and it'll all come up.
All right.
Yes,
an amazing cosplay artist who is today Princess Ariel.
Yes.
And this actually took me a while to catch who you were. I'm like, okay, I think I know who that is, but I'm not too sure about that.
Yeah.
Why did you want to go for this particular costume?
I've always been a fan of Disney princesses.
Yeah.
And I had my eye on this one in particular for a while, and and some of my other cosplay friends were doing different versions of Ariel. She was the mermaid version, so this morning we kind of decided to do that together. And I was like, I'll be the land version.
Yeah.
And it just came together nicely. So, yeah, yeah.
Excellent. Now, I have seen a number of different costumes in recent weeks on your Facebook page. You've done the Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
I saw Shredder, which was so cool to see. Do you, like, plan your cosplays, or is it more of, like, a spur of the moment, what kind of looks good to you, like, at the time?
That's a great question. It really comes down to if I'm going to a particular event that's honoring a particular fandom, like the Shredder actually I made for the 25th anniversary of the Ninja Turtles initially a few years ago. And but other cosplays that I'm making, I kind of coordinate basically what event in the future I want it to be at. But there's other than choosing, you know, what intricate cosplays I'm working on, it's really just kind of up in the air. Like, what has spoken to me in my childhood, or what, you know, is coming up for events, like movies coming out, like the Wonder Woman movie that came out, or I do a Black Widow cosplay, and the Black Widow is getting her own movie, so I'll likely bring that one back as well. The Wonder Woman 1984 is coming out, so that may or may not be a hint as to what I might be planning for next year. So
I have no idea. I'm totally...
The only thing I have to go on, really, is that one photo they teased us with. So, yeah.
Now, when you do the costumes, do you try and replicate what's in the movies or the shows, or do you do like your own twist on it?
It varies. Yeah. Like, I enjoy doing mashups. When I did my Playboy Bunny mashup with Black Widow, that was kind of a really fun, sexy take on kind of the corseted version, but I also like being as accurate as possible. But you can also play with gender. That's another way of mashing up things, like my comedienne cosplay that I did for The Watchmen and re-release for the Watchmen series that's out now. And it varies. Yeah. Like, this one's very accurate, obviously. So
So now how long did this take to do?
This one actually had commissioned, so I did not. I wish I was this talented, because I could definitely make a career out of this. But right now, it's just a hobby, and you know, I really enjoy the weekend. So I usually have one or two that I'm making myself while I'll commission something, and that way I always have something brand new to bring to an event.
Nice.
So
nice.
Yeah.
Are you a self-taught?
I am, and the one thing I like about cosplay is that you start with the real basic skill set, and then you slowly build on that, and you learn how to do casting and corsetry and foam work and a lot of different things that really kind of build upon each other to create a nice skill set that really you can do anything with, and that's what I really enjoy about being an engineer. I have an engineering degree as well, that part of me still wants to learn new things and really build, and that's kind of where I come from. So yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. What have you been learning lately?
What have I been doing lately?
Yeah. Learning lately in terms of skills and like learning like new tricks to make the costumes.
I've been learning learning more
lurking somewhere.
I've been learning more sewing techniques. Okay. So I'm working on a bell ball gown that's kind of true to the character from like the cartoon, and in doing so I'm learning a lot about setting up a nice bodice and all the boning techniques and stuff like that to kind of create the structure that you need in a nice ball gown. So yeah, it's, right now it's definitely developing my sewing repertoire, if you will. Yeah.
Which I imagine can take like a while for some of these larger
so much,
projects.
You need so much time and so much, you know, skill. And I try to learn. I pick out like my friends that are better than me at doing things, and I try to put myself in a situation where I'm learning from them as much as possible, because I always like to be doing better and learning from my friends.
Nice. So. What friends would you say are like a prime influence for you?
Oh, wow. Strictly online influences or in person?
Both.
Okay, so online I follow Kinpatsu Cosplay. She's very good at foam work. I follow Kamui Cosplay. She does a lot of books and stuff and has great tutorials online. As far as sewing, I follow Molly Nguyen. She does a lot of princess ball gowns. And that really inspires me with the different hoop skirt she uses and things like that. And then locally, I admire a lot of my friends that do sewing and have a nice skill set on foam work, which is like Mink the Satyr. She does amazing foam work. Give Wave Studios has an entire maker space that he does on Friday nights that I sometimes go to as well, and you can learn directly from him. during those sessions as well. And yeah, that's pretty much the most of the local ones that I admire. Yeah.
Now, I read that you I'm from the area, Newland, a cosplayer.
Yes.
What are some of the cons that you hit on a regular basis?
Ah, great question. Actually, I started cosplaying at Super Mega Fest.
Really?
And it was also the first con that I had a guest spot at as well.
Wow.
So this one holds a very special place in my heart. So I always make this a priority. Granite State, because I'm up in New Hampshire, so Granite State is also a lot of fun, and I try to make that one every year. But also, I've been part of it since it started. It's Saratoga Comic Con in upstate New York.
Yep.
Good friends with Sam Chase, who runs it, and I've been a guest there probably 4 or 5 times. Yep, and that one's also a lot of fun. So that one's. That one's doing very well, too.
Nice.
So those are the basic ones. As far as the larger ones,
yeah.
that I at least want to attend, Rhode Island and Boston.
Rhode Island's awesome. We were actually just there a couple weeks ago.
Yep, I attended. I just I went for just an afternoon, and yeah, it was a lot of fun. And then New York, obviously, is just, yeah, it's so much fun. Yeah.
What can people expect in the near future in terms of con appearances or costumes?
Ah, okay. Well, I did tease my Wonder Woman 1984.
Right,
hopefully,
yeah.
I'm going to have that ready for the movie debut.
Yeah, going to have to now, right?
Yeah. So I'm still kind of hashing out my Maleficent cosplay because the new movie just dropped.
Okay.
So I threw that together very informally for Rhode Island Comic Con with the bandage across, you know, when she's injured. And working on a Belle cosplay, hopefully, for next year as well. As far as events coming up, I'll probably be at New England Comic-Con, or Northeast Comic-Con, excuse me. And then I will be probably taking a break until spring. And I think that's when Saratoga comes back for their spring edition. So that should be a lot of fun. So
definitely.
Yeah.
Well, Chelsea, thank you so much for talking to me. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
But where do folks go to learn more about you?
Excellent. I am on Facebook and Instagram, Chelsea Von Chastity, and that's where I post a lot of my updates as well as kind of work-in-progress photos and things like that. So you can find me on Patreon as well, or Store Envy, where I sell prints of stuff, and all the proceeds go to funding, you know, materials for upcoming cosplays. So, yeah, check me out.
Definitely.